Anything you ask in my name, I will do. Asking in the name of Jesus. Jesus means God saves. So in the Gospel today, we have two particular points of focus. Trust that asking in Jesus' name will indeed give us what we ask for. And then the call to ask itself. First of all, trust. I mentioned yesterday the common trait of the saints in regard to Eucharistic devotion. Another common trait of the saints is their trust in God. Newman says, God knows what he is about. St. Teresa says, let nothing disturb you, let nothing frighten you, all things pass, God alone remains. Patience accomplishes all. He who possesses God lacks for nothing. God alone suffices. And Augustine says, trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to the love of God, and the future to the providence of God. How much we need to look at our lives, especially our prayer lives, in the light of trust. We all need trust. But how do we attain to it? Because sometimes we just don't feel that trust. First of all, like everything we need, we must ask for it. Pray for the grace to trust. Secondly, we must be willing to exercise trust even when we don't feel it. How much our day and age is a day and age of feeling, where feelings can run our lives, or run our lives awry. And thirdly, we need to build trust, as Jesus taught us on the cross, when in the human event of his crucifixion, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22, which he quotes, is a beautiful dialogue of the desperation of being overwhelmed and the memory of God rescuing. In our lives, the trust in God that we seek can be nourished by our recalling all the times where God came and did save us and did bring us to that hoped for end. Trust. But what's the rest of our task with God? Jesus says, you must ask in my name. Very reminiscent of Matthew 7:7. The process of praying, the process of asking. To ask, to seek, and to knock. First of all, to ask. One of the more striking things Father Hardin persistently says or asks is the question, does God give us the grace we need? And the first time I heard this dialogue, I said, well, sure. And then he says, no, God does not give us the grace we need. And as we all were looking puzzled, he says, no, God doesn't give us the grace we need. He gives us the grace to ask for the grace we need. And so when Jesus says, whatever you ask for in my name, I will give you, he's calling to mind the reality that there are certain things God will only give to us if we ask for them. And that's why it's so important that constantly we ask for the grace we need. We ask for the things we truly feel we are in need of. To ask. But secondly, we are called to make sure we realize also that Jesus doesn't run a Federal Express. It's not a matter of asking and then waiting for delivery. And so many of us fall prey to that mentality. We pray and we get other people to pray, or sometimes we even farm out our prayers and say, well, the Carmelites are praying for this, so I can back off on my end. No. We must ask and then seek. Seek. You know, that the praying, the asking part kind of downloads our anxieties, our fears, our worries, and makes room for the inspiration of God to suggest, well, what about this? What about that? To brainstorm with our Lord in prayer. To seek possible solutions to what we are asking for. So often our asking is so narrow. We tell God what the problem is and we tell God what the solution is. And all he has to do is deliver. He doesn't work that way. He wants us to be open to what the real solution is. So in the asking, we make room to hear the seeking part. The part of finding what are the possible ways that this can be dealt with. But then that asking and that seeking has to culminate in the knocking. If we don't knock on the doors that God points us to, they're never going to get open. We must be willing, once the seeking phase has culminated, to go out and try this and try that. And through the trial and error of these possibilities, let God direct us. It's a beautiful story I came across. It's about a young man from Chicago here. Back in 1976, he was in a car accident. I'd like to share the story with you because I think it very beautifully brings home the reality of trusting and asking in Jesus' name. In 1976, a car accident tore open the head of a 21-year-old Chicago boy named Peter. His brain was damaged and he was thrown into a deep coma. Doctors told Peter's family and friends that he probably wouldn't survive. Even if he did, he'd always be in a comatose state. One of the people who heard that frightening news was Linda, the girl that Peter planned to marry. In the sad days ahead, Linda prayed a great deal, and she spent all of her spare time in the hospital. Night after night, she'd sit at Peter's bedside praying, patting his cheek, rubbing his brow, and talking to him. It was like we were on a normal date, she said. All the while, Peter remained in a coma, unresponsive to Linda's loving presence. Night after night, for 3.5 months, Linda sat at Peter's bedside, speaking words of encouragement to him, even though he gave no sign that he heard her. Then one night, Linda saw Peter's toe move. A few nights later, she saw his eyelash flutter. This was all she needed. Against the advice of the doctors, she quit her job and became his constant companion. She spent hours massaging his arms and legs. Eventually, she arranged to take him home. She spent all her savings on a swimming pool, hoping that the sun and the water would restore life to Peter's motionless limbs. Then came the day when Peter spoke his first word since the accident. It was only a grunt, but Linda understood it. Gradually, with Linda's help, those grunts turned into words, clear words. Finally, the day came when Peter was able to ask Linda's father if he could marry her. Linda's father said, "When you can walk down the aisle, Peter, she'll be yours." 2 years later, Peter walked down the aisle of Our Lady of Pompeii Church in Chicago. He had to use a walker, but he was walking. Every television station in Chicago covered that wedding. Newspapers across the country carried pictures of Linda and Peter. Celebrities phoned to congratulate them. People from as far away as Australia sent them letters and presents. Families with loved ones in comas called to ask their advice. Today, Peter is living a normal life. He talks slowly, but clearly. He walks slowly, but without a walker. He and Linda even have a lovely child. The story of Linda and Peter is a story all about trust and prayer. How much in our lives we need to see that those who trust are constantly prayerful. And those who really pray trust in the Lord. As we have this retreat, we need to appreciate that what our Lord is calling us to is to cultivate a deep sense of trust in the midst of our prayerfulness and to pray for that trust. And if we do, all of a sudden, our lives will take on a different meaning. We'll have a different perspective. We'll treat life in a way that trusts in God and accepts all that comes to us. With all the retreatants I presently have, some of them use email. And often when they do, they'll send me little stories that are very, very striking. I'd like to share with you one final story today. Just got it a couple weeks ago on the email, and to me it brings home beautifully the reality of someone who has learned to trust and to pray. He was driving home one evening on a two-lane country road. Work in this small Midwestern community was almost as slow as his beat-up Pontiac, but he never quit looking. Ever since the Levi factory closed, he had been unemployed, and with winter raging on, the chill had finally hit home. It was a lonely road. Not very many people had a reason to be on it, unless they were leaving. Most of his friends had already left. They had families to feed and dreams to fulfill, but he stayed on. After all, this was where he buried his mother and father. He was born here and knew the country. He could go down this road blind and tell you what was on either side, and with his headlights not working, that came in handy. It was starting to get dark, and light snow flurries were coming down. He'd better get a move on. You know, he almost didn't see the old lady stranded on the side of the road, but even in the dim light of day, he could see she needed help. So he pulled up in front of her Mercedes and got out. His Pontiac was still sputtering when he approached her. Even with the smile on his face, she was worried. No one had stopped to help her for the last hour or so. Was he going to hurt her? He didn't look safe. He looked poor and hungry. He could see that she was frightened standing out there in the cold. He knew how she felt. It was the chill that only fear can put in you. He said, "I'm here to help you, ma'am. Why don't you wait in the car where it's warm? By the way, my name is Joe." Well, all she had was a flat tire, but for an old lady, that was bad enough. Joe crawled under the car looking for a place to put the jack, skinning his knuckles a time or two. Soon he was able to change the tire, but he had to get dirty and his hands hurt. As he was tightening up the lug nuts, she rolled down her window and began to talk to him. She told him that she was from St. Louis and was only just passing through. She couldn't thank him enough for coming to her aid. Joe just smiled as he closed her trunk. She asked him how much she owed him. Any amount would have been all right with her. She had already imagined all the awful things that could have happened had he not stopped. Joe never thought twice about the money. This was not a job to him. This was helping someone in need, and God knows there were plenty who had given him a hand in the past. He had lived his whole life that way, and it never occurred to him to act any other way. He told her that if she really wanted to pay him back, the next time she saw someone who needed help, she could give that person the assistance that they needed. And Joe added, "And think of me." He waited until she started her car and drove off. It had been a cold and depressing day, but he felt good as he headed home, disappearing into the twilight. A few miles down the road, the lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite to eat and take the chill off before she made the last leg of her trip home. It was a dingy-looking restaurant. Outside were two old gas pumps. The whole scene was unfamiliar to her. The cash register was like the telephone of an out-of-work actor. It didn't ring much. Her waitress came over and brought a clean towel to wipe her wet hair. She had a sweet smile, one that even being on her feet for the whole day couldn't erase. The lady noticed that the waitress was nearly 8 months pregnant, but she never let the strain and aches change her attitude. The old lady wondered how someone who had so little could be so giving to a stranger. Then she remembered Joe. After the lady finished her meal and the waitress went to get her change from the $100 bill, the lady slipped right out the door. She was gone by the time the waitress came back. She wondered where the lady could be. Then she noticed something written on the napkin. There were tears in her eyes when she read what the lady wrote. It said, "You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me out the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you." Well, there were tables to clear, sugar bowls to fill, and people to serve, but the waitress made it through another day. That night when she got home from work and climbed into bed, she was thinking about the money and what the lady had written. How could she have known how much she and her husband needed it? With the baby due next month, it was going to be hard. She knew how worried her husband was, and as he lay sleeping next to her, she gave him a soft kiss and whispered soft and low, "Everything's going to be all right. I love you, Joe." How beautifully this story brings home to us the reality of life lived in trust, the peace, the surrender, the prayerfulness we can have if we do two things: trust in the Lord and truly ask all that we need in Jesus' name. Let us now offer our petitions to our Heavenly Father. For our Holy Father, Pope John Paul, that God may bless and strengthen him in shepherding the church, let us pray to the Lord.